Some of you may know that our teen Bible studies, we've been discussing Life 101, right? Life 101, we've talked about relationships, we skipped tithing. I didn't think anybody would be all that too excited about that topic. Maybe we'll pick it up a little bit later. We discussed many different topics. I guess I'm feeling like Mr. Griswold, just a little bit older. My memory fails me. I can't remember the topics that we did. But many of them, just sort of the day-to-day application of God's way of life. And so I want to pick up that theme today, Life 101, and kind of build upon the first split sermon. And to do so, I'd like to ask you a question. Who remembers starting out in the workforce? Who remembers their first job? Oh, I see a lot of hands. Some of you who don't work, that's okay, you will soon. Or if you're retired, you can think back that far. Do you remember what it was like? Maybe a little bit eager, a little bit nervous, excited for the paycheck, maybe not so much for the work. I feel you, I'm still there. Full of hope, ambitious. What are you going to do? You think you're going to do all these great things, and then maybe you're just sweeping the floor, right? We all got to start some places. That financial freedom, the ability to pay for yourself to go to the movies, feeling responsibility, big man on campus, nervous, don't want to mess up. And then as you think about it, what's next? It's day in, day out, head down, plow, paycheck, rinse, repeat, right? Many of us are living that today. But today, in this sermon, I want to join an imaginary young person in their first job. This person's getting ready for work. That young person is ready to join the masses, punching that clock. And as we join this person, we're going to be looking at the Bible and what it has to say. Because, right, as Mr. Griswold alluded to, God's word is living. It's powerful. And in it, we can find guidance through all applications, through day in and day out of our lives. Whether we're retired or whether we're working, in it we can apply it to our lives. Because otherwise, if we're not reading it, right, as Mr. Griswold said, through that consistency daily, it's somewhat meaningless. It's just a book on the shelf at that point. And God gives us the tools to live our lives and to be guided by his words and these principles. So in today's sermon, I'm going to go through a story of an imaginary teen or an imaginary young person on their first job. And we're going to draw out lessons from their experience in this hypothetical situation that we can both apply if we're working, apply in our Christian walk, and if we're getting ready to go into that the workforce, maybe we can think about some things before we show up to the interview or to that first job. So let's go. Les Gates. The alarm clock blares. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I thought about making an alarm clock noise or bringing up my phone, but I didn't want you guys to sour on the sermon before we really got into it already. It's early morning. You're up. Blankets are off. Don't want to be late. Whew. Dressed. It's a little blurry out there. Maybe you have some coffee. As we join our young person, Bob, it seems good. Some toast in the toaster. A little bit nervous, the butterflies are in our stomach, right? You remember that experience? Who are you going to meet today? What are they going to say? How's it going to be? Toast. Buttered, a little bit crunchy. You overcook your eggs. They're a little bit rubbery, but you can move through that. We're going, we're good, we're on our first job. The sun is just peering over the hills, observing the day and watching you as you begin the trek down the road, excited to be going to work, excited to be on your way to your first paycheck. The summer air is cool. Windows down, music up, drive into town for this job. And then on the horizon, you see it, turn left into the parking lot. The gate is open. People are milling around, waiting to start. It's a box building. It's a warehouse where you're going to have the experience to put things in boxes and get them to another location. But you're ready for this, ready for work, which brings us to our first point. There's a time to work. God gives us a time to do the things in our life. Ecclesiastes 3:1. And it's interesting that if you want to go back and you look at how our lives and the endeavors that God gives us, Solomon speaks a lot to our physical life, and he speaks a lot to how that physical life is to be lived. Ecclesiastes 3. He says in verse 3, to everything there is a season. That's 3 verse 1. A time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. There is a time to do everything that God has given us, designated in our life. And as young people and as middle-aged and working people, you know, God has given us time to make the most of it, right? He's given us that asset. But he also tells us, hey, there is a time to work. And as our imaginary teen transitions into that life of play, into a life of work and endeavor, God has designed us to find satisfaction in that work and in those endeavors, right? As Mr. Griswold alluded to, there is a great satisfaction in completing hard things. And as we continue on, Solomon had a lot to say about hard work, and he had a lot to say about work itself and our jobs. But we're a little bit early in the parking lot today. We were nervous. We got started. Traffic wasn't as bad as we thought. You know, and as we turned in, it's a little awkward. Remember that? Do I park in the employee parking lot or do I park in the guest? I don't have my badge. What do I do? Where do I go? Well, you decided to park in the visitor spot until you get your badge. It's okay. We'll ask for forgiveness in this case. And as you note, the day's going to be filled with lots of little awkward moments as you learn the ropes. You remember that first job? You remember those experiences that we have in life? They're a little bit awkward sometimes. But we're sitting in the car, kind of just listening. At 6:50 a.m., we're supposed to be there at 7, right? So we're early. We're doing good. Ecclesiastes 5, 8, 18 and 20. We're just going to read the Bible a little bit before we head into work. 5, 18 and 20. Solomon tells us, here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun, all the days of his life which God gives him, for it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it and receive his heritage and rejoice in his labors. This is a gift of God. It is a gift of God to pursue work, to rejoice in it, to have satisfaction in it. This is a gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joys of his heart. We're focused, we're ready. And one last scripture you read before you walk on in is Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. Brethren, whatever we find to do, whether it's our first job, whether it's sweeping the floor, whatever we find to do, do it with your might. Do it so that you stand out. Do it like we're working for the Lord. Right? Put our energies in it. That's a lesson that goes to the people who are starting out in the workforce or for us in any daily activity we have in our Christian walk. Do it with all of our might. 6:55, time to go. Head into the building. The doors are double door, aluminum. They're a little bit rusty, kind of stick as you sort of awkwardly pull the door open. Whew. Meet the secretary. There's a formidable woman, forced to check you in. She tells you, hands you your boots, safety glasses, safety vest, and gloves. You're ready. Today, your job is to sort parts as they come down the conveyor. We think we can handle that. We're on the assembly line. The visions of grandeur you had of running the company, well, they have to be put aside for a little bit as we discover that we have to work through the process. Work from the bottom up a little bit. It may not be as exciting the first off as you're looking for the boss to notice your natural talent, but you'll get there. Red wire in the left blocks. Main part in the main box, middle section, middle metal thingy-majig in the front, peanuts on top, tape next. Before you know it, it's break time. 100 boxes done, break time. A little water, a little coffee, and the new guy donuts, it's back to work. Returning to your station on the line, you notice the vending machine. There's still some folks there. They're still talking, laughing at cat videos and crazy fails on YouTube. 10 minutes later, 25 boxes, you're improving. The people come back online. Remember, brethren and young people, as we start out, we are hired to work, regardless of what other people do. They may linger at the vending machine. They may linger on their phones. But whatever, we are hired to work. Matthew 20. We are responsible for our job and our job alone. Our performance, doesn't matter how others work or others are hired, we are responsible for we, for us, for me. Matthew 20. And I want to read this scripture in just a little bit different light. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And when he went out the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. And so on and so forth, he hires people all throughout the day. And verse 8, he says, so when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to the steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when they came to those who were hired about the 11th hour, they received a denarius. But when they came to the first, they supposed that they would receive more because they had worked longer, right? That's really what they're thinking. And they likewise received a denarius. And when they received it, they murmured against the landowner. Brethren, in this case, they thought they should have been paid more. But it's not true. They all signed on for the same amount. And the lesson I want to bring out here is we all signed on to work. Our reward is its reward. It is for us alone, and I am responsible for that alone, and that's between me and God. Right? It's not between me and someone else. It's between me and God. And part of our work, brethren, as Mr. Griswold said, is to do things hard. Do hard things. We're required to grow, to change. And it's our duty to do that. And some of us are going to be at it longer than others. But that's okay. It's okay. And as teens or young people in the workforce, and even us other adults, you may see other people slack. And we may want to join them. But we are responsible, and we are hired to work, both in our physical and our spiritual lives. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18:9. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. You know, they say you can't choose your family, right? But this is one family member we don't want to choose. We don't want to choose the brother of the destroyer because we're lazy and we're not doing what we need to do. Right? So the question we have to ask ourselves as Christians, are we destroying the work of God through laziness? Whew. More boxes down the line. More boxes on the shelf. More boxes on the pallets. Shrink wrap, ready to go. Best part of the day. Lunchtime. You head to the cafeteria space, plastic tables and chairs, fluorescent lights buzzing, stained ceiling tiles. A few greenish plants occupy the corners with orange 1970s tiles and vending machines that still have the plastic slider, allowing the purchaser to buy a sandwich at their own peril. Remember, we are in a manufacturing space. Pulling up your plastic chair, you sit down with the members of your line, fellow boxers. Being nice, they ask you, how's the day going? How are you liking it? What's going on? What's the best part? How long you been working? What you doing? What are your summer plans? They start peppering you with your questions. Conversations go on for a bit. You're sort of muddling through your sandwiches. And then it's suddenly, as if a switch is flipped, one of the folks begins telling you about how awful the company is. Oh, it used to be so much better. We used to get bonuses. The engineers are so snooty. They don't like us. The pay isn't as good as it used to be. And this new policy to wear safety glasses. I mean, come on, they sweat up and you can't see and I just hate it. And oh, it's terrible. They're treating everyone like idiots because that one guy lost an eye or something. I mean, come on. They expect us to just work in the line, boxing parts, and doing our job. Turn with me, brethren, Philippians. Philippians 2. Hopefully this isn't triggering too many work experiences for some of us, but Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Do all things without disputing and complaining. Guess what? This is a pro tip for life, right? We've all heard about pro tips. Well, this is a pro tip from God. If we are able to do this, we will be a breath of fresh air, both to our company, to our friends, and to our church. We will be that fresh air if we can do all things without murmuring and disputing. It says in the margin, arguing. Without rolling the eyes of, oh, I don't really want to do that. Or, you expect me to do that? Talk to any of the people in this church, young people, who own their own business, and they will tell you the person they want is a can-do positive attitude. They ain't got no place for can'ts or murmuring or complaining. That's awful, and I realize that's poor English, but it is true. I can't tell you how frustrating it is to ask somebody, can you help me out with this? And they tell me, well, that's not my job, or no, I don't think I could do that. Or like, well, are we here to work, or what are we here for? Right? Be that breath of fresh air. Be that breath of being able to do things without murmuring or disputing. And you'll notice the more positive we are, in a group of people. Have you ever noticed this happen? You're in a group of people and you're like, well, you know, it was still okay. I think that, you know, even though I bruised my shin and broke my leg, I think I can still manage through the situation. And somebody there will be like, yeah, you know, but the boat broke down or this happened. There's always somebody there who's going to help you come down a notch and to go back to the grumbling. And that's human nature. And we have to not allow it. Not allow it. Remember that pro tip, do all things without murmuring and disputing. We are a light on the hill, right? You want to shine your light? Be positive, be proactive. Do all things without murmuring and complaining. And an aspect that I want to bring out here, brethren, as we think about our Christian walk and we think about this aspect of work and, you know, in light of camp a few weeks ago, I would say kill the sarcasm. Mr. Light, in his address to the staff at teen camp, said, hey, you know, leave the sarcasm at home. Don't bring it. And I would say kill it. Slay that dragon and don't have it be a part of our life. Because oftentimes, we kind of try to think we're funny, I do at least, and you know, ta-ha-ha, but it's just like a cloak of complaining. Right? And, you know, we'll try to make fun of it and try to make fun of things. And it's so interesting, too, because as for doing all things without murmuring, complaining, we're keeping that positive attitude. We're not, you know, trying to be sarcastic and bring people down. I had an experience recently where this person was, I was showing them some photos of a site visit, and they were like, who took these site photos? Like, there's a missing bolt. Like, who would do that? That seems really stupid. And I wanted to say, well, I took the photo, and I was the guy who was trying to be thorough. What do you got, buddy? Right? Do all things without murmuring and complaining. And, you know, just sometimes you got to roll with it and be like, okay, they're going to try to just bring you down. Right? And there's that negativity of sarcasm that I want to add in there. All right. Whew. Lunch is just about done. When one of the owner's sons walks in, the click-clack of his nice shoes on the concrete floor or the tile floor, his presence is like blood in the water for a shark and gossips. They're ready. They've seen him. Oh, look at that shirt. Look at that sweater vest. They go on to tell you, he's not like his dad. He's not like his mom. Or it's been rumored he's been arrested. For what? For what, you ask? For this and that. No one really knows. But, you know, he gets in trouble all the time. A scripture comes to your mind as you're sitting at the table. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse 8. I'm going to read it in the New King James, and then I'm going to read it in the Message Bible. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. They go down into the innermost body, right? And in the Message, it says this way. It says, listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do you really want that in your belly? Right? Every time you eat it, you get like a bellyache. You know, I'm not picking on him because he's not here to defend himself, but Mr. Cody would bring those warheads around. Those are what you imagine gossip to be like. And those aren't even sweet. They're just awful. But imagine that, brethren, that in your belly. Turn with me to 26:20. Proverbs 26:20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. Pro tip number two. You want to be a light on a hill? Don't be a part of office gossip. Don't be a part of it. Don't join in it. Don't begin it, and don't continue it. Right? When we do that, and we are able to stop it, it says in verse 26, right? We won't be eating the junk food of words. And in verse 26, the strife will cease. I got to remember my notes there. Sorry. 26:20, yeah. Where there is no talebearer, no gossip, strife ceases. I still like that Dave Ramsey example. Have a zero policy for gossip, right? Because realistically, who wants to work in a forest fire, right? Who wants to work where the fire is always burning and you can never do anything because people are going to talk about it all the time? If there's something wrong, take it to the right person or fix it. Two choices. Take it to the right person who can fix it or be bold, do a hard thing and fix it. This can be said for us, brethren. Lots of things we can't fix. There's information we're going to hear, things we can't do. But what we do here, we have to figure out how not to gossip, to be a peaceful congregation. Imagine that, brethren. I mean, we are. I'm not saying we're not. I'm just saying, like, think about that as in our own life and what that would be like. Lunch is done. Back to work. At the line till 2 o'clock. More boxes, more tape, more peanuts. Easy listening, blaring on the assembly floor. The fans going. It's somewhat hot in the air, a little bit dusty. You've got the haze of corrugated cardboard floating through the air, right? And your safety glasses, they are sweating and fogging up a little bit. But you're ready. And then the boss comes up, sees your box handling skills along with your positive attitude, and has an assignment for you. 100 pallets of parts need to be moved onto trucks, and since you're new to this job, you don't have your forklift certification. You get to do your loading with a pallet jack, which is, if you haven't seen those guys in Costco or Winco pulling around a pallet with this, like, you are the power, right? The biological pallet mover. It'll take a fair bit of time, but they need to go out today. Are you up for it? Ecclesiastes 7:8. Are we up for it, brethren? The end of a thing is better than its beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Are we up for it? Are we up to finish what we started? No one wants a fence with just holes, no posts, and no rails, right? We want the whole fence. It's easy to start things, right? Mr. Griswold said, you know, one of those hard things is consistency. And that's so true, right? Anybody can go running for a day. But how about 6 months straight? Or, you know, Michael Phelps. I counted it out, if I did the math right, it was like over 12,000 hours of swimming. That's a lot. Easy to start things, hard to finish them. And we are called to do those hard things. Proverbs 12:27, a slothful man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. It's easy to go hunting, easy to shoot something. I mean, a lot of walking involved and other stuff, but you know, the killing is the easy part. But then you have hours to begin. When they come and butcher the cows for us, you know, within the first 5 minutes, the cows are dead. But they don't leave till like 2.5 hours later. The work has just started, right? It's easy to start something. I mean, he could, you know, come in and dispatch of the cows and drive off. Wouldn't get hired again. But that would be the easy part. The hard part, the physical part, the work part, is to deal with it and complete it, right? It's not complete until it's in white packages and in my freezer. That takes a while, right? We've been all been given tasks sometimes, and they're not necessarily the most fun or pleasant tasks that we can ever think of. But we have to finish them. We have to follow through with it. We have to have that consistency day in and day out to study our Bible, to develop our relationship with God, and finish our Christian walk. All right. Pallet 99, pallet 100. Whew. Last one on the truck. Whew. Ready to head home. And boy, do we feel like a job well done. First day, lots of new people, and that's a lot of pallets. You can be turning to Proverbs 22. Trying to do a good job. Trying to work hard, trying to complete the task given positively. Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man, or in this case, do you see a man or a woman who excels in his work? They will stand before kings. They will not stand before unknown men. Right? Do you want to stand before people? Do you want to stand before, you know, CEOs or other people, clients? Excel in your work. Be diligent. And I've seen this time and time again. You can ask people who have also as well. Time and time again, the people, the diligent people, they don't stand before obscure people. They stand in front of the company. They stand in front of the clients. They stand before the leading people. Right? It says, if you do that, if you excel in your work, do a good job, you will not stand before unknown men or obscure men. We will have the reward. And spiritually, brethren, if we excel in our Christian walk, we will stand before the ultimate man. We will stand before Jesus Christ, and we will have that reward. And we will not stand before obscure men. We will stand before the true King if we excel in our Christian walk. Whew. Back in the car. Windows down. It's roasting in here. No AC. Windows are down. Turning up the music. Out of the parking lot. Whew. Deep breath. It's over. Task ready. Task complete. Ready to go home. Ready to be back to do it again. Brethren, let's follow Solomon's advice. Let's enjoy our work. Let's enjoy what God has given us and endeavor in all that we do to give it our all. Let's remember we are hired to do a work. We are hired to be a work. And let's do it without complaining, without murmuring, without grumbling, with a positive attitude. Kill the sarcasm and finish what we start, brethren. And if we do this, we will stand before the true King.